This is VK6ARN, News West. We are a community organisation and we've been serving up the best amateur radio news in Australia since 1931.
Hi, this is Clinton, VK6FCRC, and I still have no internet. Yeah, NBNCo refused to do my installation last week, so I still have no internet. Now with the news.
Foundations of Amateur Radio. Recently, I saw a social media post featuring a screenshot of some random website with pretty charts and indicators describing current HF propagation. Aside from lacking a date, it helpfully included notations like solar storm imminent and band closed. It made me wonder, not for the first time, what the reliability of this type of notification is. Does it actually indicate what you might expect when you get on air to make noise? Is it globally relevant? Is the data valid or real time? You get the idea. How do you determine the relationship between this pretty display and reality? Immediately, the Whisper or Weak Signal Propagation Reporter database came to mind. It's a massive collection of signal reports capturing time, band, station, and other parameters, one of which is the signal-to-noise ratio, or SNR. If the number of sunspots or a geomagnetic index change affected propagation, can we see an effect on the SNR? Although there's close on a million records per day, I'll note in advance that my current approach of taking a daily average across all reports on a specific band completely ignores the number of reports, the types and direction of antennas, the distance between stations, transmitter power, local noise, or any number of other variables. Using the online whisper.live database, looking only at 2024, I link the daily recorded whisper SNR average per band to the sunspot numbers and geomagnetic index, and immediately ran into problems. For starters, the daily sunspot number, or SSN, from the Royal Observatory in Belgium does not appear to be complete. I'm not yet sure why. For example, there's only 288 days of SSN data in 2024. Does this mean that the observers were on holiday on the other 78 days, or was the SSN zero? Curiously, there's 60 days where there's more than one recording, and as a bonus on New Year's Eve 2024, there's three recordings, all with the same timestamp, midnight, with 181, 194, and 194 sunspots. So I took the daily average. Also, I ignored the time zone since that's not apparent. Similarly, the geomagnetic index data from the Helmholtz Center for Geosciences in Potsdam, Germany, has several weird artifacts around 1970s data, but fortunately not within 2024 that I saw. The data is collected every 3 hours, so I averaged that too. After excluding days where the SSN was missing, I ran into the next issue. My database query was too big. Understandable, since there are many reports in this database, 2 billion, give or take, for 2024 alone. Normally, I'd be running this type of query on my own hardware, but you might know that I lost my main research computer last year. Well, I didn't lose it as such, I can see it from where I am right now, but it won't power up. Money aside, I've been working on it, but being unceremoniously moved from Intel to ARM is not something I'd recommend. I created a script that extracted the data, one day at a time, with 30 seconds between each query. 3 hours later, I had preliminary numbers. The result was 6,239 records across 116 bands, which of course should immediately spark interest since we don't really have that many bands. I sorted the output by the number of reports per band and discovered that the maximum number of days per band was 276. This in turn should surprise you, since there's 365 days in a year. Well, technically a smidge more, but for now, 365 is fine, not to mention that 2024 was a leap year. So what happened to the other 90 days? We know that 78 are missing because the SSN wasn't in the database, but the other 12 days? I'm going to ignore that too. I removed all the bands that had less than 276 reports per day, leaving 17 bands, including the well-known 13 megahertz band. The what? Yeah, there's a few others like that. I removed the obvious weird band, but what's the 430 megahertz band when the 70 centimeter band in Whisper is defined as 432 megahertz? I manually created 15 charts, plotting dates against SNR, SSN, KP and AP indices. Remember, this is a daily average of each of these, just to get a handle on what I'm looking at. Immediately, several things become apparent. There are plenty of bands where the relationship between the average SNR and the other influences appear to be negligible. We can see the average SNR move up and down across the year, following the seasons, which raises a specific question. If the SNR is averaged across the whole planet from all Whisper stations, why are we seeing seasonal variation, given that while it's winter here in VK, it's summer on the other side of the equator? If you compare the maximum average SNR of a band against the minimum average SNR of the same band, you get a sense of how much the sunspots and geomagnetic index influences the planet as a whole on that band. The band with the least amount of variation is the 30-meter band. Said differently, with all the changes going on around propagation, the 30-meter band appears to be the most stable, followed by the 12-meter and 15-meter bands. The SNR across all of HF varies on average no more than 5 dB. The higher the band, the more variation there is. Of course, it's also possible that there's less reports there, so we might be seeing the impact of individual station variables more keenly. It's too early for conclusions, but I can tell you that this gives us plenty of new questions to ask. I'm Ono, Victor Kilo 6, Foxtrot Lima Alpha Bravo.
This is News West, your amateur radio news on VK6 ARN, originating on the News West linked repeater network and HF relays.
QTC magazine is prepared and published by the Radio Amateur Society of Australia, commonly called by its initials, RASA. In the recently published May edition of QTC, you can catch up on our usual mix of articles, including a review of the Wireless Institute's recent article on 5 MHz in the Amateur Radio magazine. As we explain in our editorial, the truth and the whole truth does matter. If you disagree with something we publish, write to us. The same goes for AR magazine. Now, more than ever, we need factual information and reporting in our national journals. Other stories include a lively account of the recent de-expedition to Cocos, Keeling and Christmas Island, and other reports of what's going on in our hobby. If you'd like to advertise your club or event, just send us an email. Club notices are free of charge, whether or not you're a member of RASA. QTC magazine can be viewed or downloaded at the RASA website, vkradioamateurs.org. That's vkradioamateurs.org. Do you have a story, letter to the editor, or would like to ask about anything that was published in QTC? Email RASA. The address is info@vkradioamateurs.org. Now, I'd like to emphasise that RASA's item about why Australian amateurs do not have access to 60 metres is factual and it is documented. Did you miss seeing it? It's on the RASA website. At the time the item criticising RASA was being published in the Amateur Radio magazine, the president of the Wireless Institute of Australia had in his possession the relevant documentation on 60 metres given him by the president of RASA as a courtesy. The criticism from the WIA's Amateur Radio magazine, which is rapidly earning the epithet RAG, was an awful piece of writing. Was the article written by Dale Hughes himself, or has it been modified or added to by the Wireless Institute of Australia's editors? Have a look for yourself.
Good morning, campers. The Southern Electronics Group would like to tell you all about a fun little weekend away in the rural radio quietness that is Mayenup. The Mike Beale Memorial Mayenup Hamcampsion is on again over the weekend of 16th to 18th of May. This is an opportunity to drag the van, tent or swag down to Mayenup and enjoy some quality time with like-minded radio enthusiasts. Mayenup is roughly 3 hours from Perth down either the freeway and via Collie or Albany Highway via Kojanup. There is plenty of room to camp. There are hot showers and a camp kitchen if you wish to use our facilities. The site does not provide mains power to campers, so please bring your solar panels or a small generator. There are plenty of tall trees to throw a line and some good places to attach a squid pole. Main upgrounds are a registered POTA, that's Parks on the Air site, AU3768, so you can be activating a park all weekend. Camping is $10 per person per night, which all goes to the Main Up Progress Association for upkeep of the grounds. We can take cash or card when you arrive. We also have a Facebook page for Hamcampton where we provide regular updates. As the event is in May, the weather can be warm, cold, wet or dry, so come prepared. The fire will be cranking most of the weekend, so marshmallows are recommended. This event is 3 weeks away, so don't leave it to the last minute to decide. If you're planning to join us, please drop me a note at vk6ek@gmail.com. That's Victor Kilo Sierra India X-ray Echo Kilo at gmail.com. This is Darren, VK6EK, for the Southern Electronics Group.
Hello from Dennis, VK6AKR for the WAVHF Group. Another Lancaster event, another special event call sign. Maybe we should be called the WA Very Active Lancaster Group, hi. So what's this one about? It's a birthday party. 80 years ago, on the 25th of May, three Lancaster aircraft were handed over from their manufacturer to the Royal Air Force. Astute listeners will understand that this date was post-World War II, and indeed, these three aircraft did not see active duty in that conflict. Instead, they were deployed elsewhere, like our Lancaster at Bull Creek Aviation Museum, typically involved in intelligence gathering operations. Their serial numbers were NX611, NX622, and NX644. With NX622 being ours at Bull Creek. Our Lancaster has the designation JOD, and thus we applied for and were granted VK80JOD. This call sign becomes active on the 24th of this month and runs for only 7 days, so get in quickly to have this one in your logs. We have been invited by the museum management to set up a station similar to ours for the manor operation, but this time we will not be using DMR. So at this stage we will focus on VHF-UHF within VK6 or wherever you can get it to go, and HF for VK and ZL wide. At this late stage we don't know if the two sites, one at East Kirby in the United Kingdom and another in France, will apply for call signs for their operations and commemorations. Next week, I hope to have information on that. In the meantime, the amateur community has been positively commented upon for the commemoration of Operations Manor and Chowhound. It touched a lot of people, so thanks to all of you who in some way participated. Listen in next week for some updates to this tale, and in the meantime, enjoy amateur radio in all of its aspects. 73 from Dennis, VK6, AKR.
This week, I and others will be preparing for a trek of a couple of 100 kilometres cross-country to the Hamcampton event at Mayenup, and I'll be going next Friday. It looks like it will be a good turnout, and that we will all have some good toys on display. I hope the weather and the sun behave themselves. If you're thinking of turning up, it's the Mayenup Sports Ground, not far from Boyup Brook. Google knows where it is. Apart from your toys, you need to bring all of your camping needs, including drinking water. There is a camp kitchen and excellent ablution facilities with nice hot showers. There's a pass-on cost of $10 per person per night, which is a camping fee, and that's passed on to the organisation that runs the venue. There will be a raffle and proceeds go to the Southern Electronics Group, so be ready to buy some raffle tickets. And whilst talking about next weekend, Saturday is the 17th of May, which is the World Telecommunication and Information Society Day. This day marks the anniversary of the signing of the first International Telegraph Convention and the creation of the International Telecommunication Union, the ITU. To mark the occasion, the ACMA has labelled the 17th of May as a day on which we can use the AX prefix on our call signs. That means next Saturday, the 17th of May, for the full 24 hours, I can work as AX6 Papa Oscar Papa. Everyone else can use the AX prefix on their call sign. as long as their call sign begins with VK. Other call signs are not eligible.
This is News West, your amateur radio news on VK6ARN, originating on the News West Linked Repeater Network and HF Relays.
It's Clinton, VK6FCRC, back with you. And did you know that News West is now on YouTube? Type in youtube.com/@NewsWestWeeklyPodcast-KiloZulu7YankeeCharlie. Oh, and before I go, I'd like to thank those watching on YouTube or ATV, the readers, and you for listening. I'd also like to thank our team, the broadcasters, and those submitting content each week. Please stand by now for callbacks after the broadcast. Or head over to the VK6.net website and fill out the form so we know how many people are listening each week.